One sublime truth is established in the part of Ephesians we've been studying. Wives, be in submission to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Servants, be not man-pleasers, but pleasers of God. Masters, abuse not your servants. We have here order and authority established by God. Sometime or other during my university days, there were discussions as to responsibilities of an individual living on a desert island by himself. Then the difference of responsibilities if another one came and there were two of them. Then what about if another came and there was three and then another? The only freedom that man has is in obedience to the laws that govern his conduct. Where there is no law, there is no freedom. We have anarchy. And God has established authority. And the first authority he established was that in the home, as far as human relationship is concerned. We have the authority of the parents. And the first chapter of Romans, in the 30th verse, we're told that one of the abominable experiences of the human race that has sunk in degradation and has deteriorated is children will be disobedient to their parents. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter in the 2nd verse that one of the signs of the times of the soon coming of our Lord is that the children will be disobedient to their parents. Those of you familiar with the newspapers and newscasts and television programs, etc., appreciate the fact that one situation confronting the world today is loosely referred to as child abuse. Child abuse. And I have heard, but I haven't checked on it or traced it out, that there is legislation pending which would authorize or give the government power to come into your home and sit in on problems of correction and discipline in the home. Of course, we have seen traumatic changes take place. Now, when I was in grammar school and high school, the minute we left the property owned, controlled by my father, we became charges of the state. And we were under their control then till we returned. And I never got a whipping in school. For a very good reason. The first day I went to school, Papa said, if you get a whipping in school, you get another when you get home. And he said, don't come tell me anything the teacher did or said, because I'm telling you now, the teacher is right. I was brought up under that, and so were others, and it didn't hurt. It was good. It was good. Some of my family are teaching school today. They can't even keep a child after school until they call the parents and get the permission from the parents. They can't do a thing for discipline. Of course, I taught school way back BPTA. Before the PTA. You can't remember that far back. But there have been some good days in school teaching way back yonder. But the newspaper tells of child abuse. Newspaper tells of fathers and mothers beating their children to death. Newspapers tell of father threatening to break his teenage daughter's legs. And first one thing and another. So we come to the Word of God for the relationship between parent and child. God has plenty to say about it. God has a plan and order. Now, I want to say this in beginning. There's a revolt on today, worldwide revolution against all authority. Revolution in the home against authority. Revolution in the school against authority. Revolution in the city government against authority. Revolution in state government, federal government, against authority. Forgetting one thing. Or consciously flouting the authority because of what's involved. Now here's what's involved. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said on one occasion, all authority, some translations say all power, but it's all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So the revolt against authority in the home or the school or the municipality or the state or the federal government is nothing in the world but a revolt against the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see in a moment. When God created man in the likeness of His own image, gave him the power of choice to exercise his own will contrary to the will of God if he chose. God had to establish boundaries of authority and give certain laws to govern man's conduct. And today we've got some of the laws that are obtained between child and parent and child. Now, I'm sure you've noted through the past few years, the past few decades, the onslaught of communism against our nation and other nations of similar government, trying to do away with them. But before communism can get a hold in this country, it must do away with all authority. Because all authority has its origin basis in God. And to acknowledge that there is a God, to acknowledge that there is a supreme being, is to acknowledge a responsibility toward a sovereign being. And man in revolt, man in communism, doesn't want to acknowledge there is a God and acknowledge he has a responsibility toward a supreme being because man is the highest. Now, the folly of man is manifested in part of his philosophy. I do not believe there's a God, and I don't believe God became man. What I believe is that man can become God. And so he starts work on himself and he makes a God out of himself. Now, authority. Authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, first of all, I want to disabuse the mind of parents who are present. Parents who are present. Remember, you have parents. Remember, you are a child. It doesn't say, obey your parents till you get married. It doesn't say, obey your parents until you're 21. It just says, obey your parents. Now, if you had rather go back to the fifth commandment, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. And as long as we're to live, and as long as our parents live, we are to honor them. When they're dead, we can still bring honor to their name and to their memory, or we can bring shame and disgrace to their name and to their memory. We remember one reason the Lord gave parents children was that they might have somebody to take care of them in their old age. Honor thy father and thy mother. As we look up on this thing, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Did you ever try to figure out why the Lord gave children parents? He gave them parents to care for them, to feed them, to clothe them, to shelter them. He gave them parents to train them and direct them in the ways in which they should go, help prepare them for life that lies ahead of them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. An expression that confounds many people, in the Lord, that could be better translated, obey your parents unto the Lord. Well, let me show you something here. Over here in verse 22, we have the same thing. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. You keep that in mind, unto the Lord. Here's what this passage brings out. When a wife is in submission to her husband, when the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, when children obey their parents, when the parents do not provoke them to wrath, when the servants are obedient to their masters and the masters do not mistreat the servants, they are worshiping God as unto the Lord. People want to sit around with a long, pious face. They want to check the things they've done for the Lord and this and that, not knowing that their attitude toward and treatment of their loved one or their loved ones constitutes worship or lack of worship itself. Children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. You ought to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey your parents, for in so doing you are worshiping the Lord. That's part of it. Now, he gives three reasons why children should obey their parents. I spoke of one just then. I'll come back to it in a minute. He gives the first one here in this verse 1. For this is right. This is right. The order, the natural order of things requires a child to obey its parents. Now, this is in the natural realm itself. You go into the realm of nature. I've seen a mother cat tire of some of the frivolous things a kitten is doing, and I've seen her maul him. Just knock him clear away. I've seen the mother dog tire of what the pup is doing and nap it. And the pup straightened up. There's order in nature and there's authority in nature. And it's right. I don't know the exact number of days, but I've been told by chicken fanciers that at a certain age, the old mother hen gets rid of the chicks. Go and scratch for yourself. I've heard about the eagle kicking the little eaglets at a certain age out of the nest. It has been said that the human race is the only family of animals that doesn't ever wean its young. I don't know. But it's right, and it's natural. The little child has to learn to walk. The little child doesn't know what to eat. They don't. And sometimes they have to watch. You hand them something to eat, you knock it out of your hand and scatter it all over the kitchen floor. Well, there are lots of things that are needed, but it's right, and it's natural. It's natural that the child should have some guidance. I spoke to a lady one evening coming into church. This was back in my early ministry. I used to ask a lot of questions in my early ministry. I soon quit asking questions. I got too many answers. She was coming in, her little girl wasn't with her. I said, "Oh, where's so-and-so?" And she said, "Well, she's gone to the show tonight." That was Sunday night. I said, "She's gone to the show tonight." I said, "You know, she's going to have to learn to make her own choices. She's going to have to learn to do this," and so forth and so on. And so I just let her make her choice, and she said that's where she wanted to go. Well, sometimes children need to hear the word no. Sometimes the word yes, but they need guidance and they need direction. Children do. They don't know exactly what's good for them to eat. They don't know exactly what course of conduct there is. Now, someone has said that there is some of this modern generation that is longing for somebody to assume some authority, some responsibility, and tell them what to do and what not to do. They're not capable of making their own choice. We need to keep that in mind. Now, not only should the child obey his parent because it's right and it's natural, but because it's the law. It's the law. It's out of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. Honor them. The home, the first institution established by God. The dissolution of the home is the aim of communism. And when communism has dissolved the home and the home life of America, then she will have conquered America without the firing of a shot. She will have conquered it. And the home is going away. The church is not helping with the home. The church is not helping with the home. Somewhere, sometime, back here, a few decades ago, somebody came up with this fanciful idea, said there ought to be something at the church every night, and the church should be the place where the family goes every night, and the family life should revolve around the church. They should. Well, that makes somebody at the church responsible for your child, and not you. No, no. God Almighty established the home, the father and the mother and the children, with the father, the head of the house, the priest of the house. And children were to obey their parents. Now, the commandment, God gave the commandment. The only commandment of the ten that's not carried into the New Testament is the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's not carried over into the New Testament because it has no application to Christians or to the Christian church. It's given to Israel as a sign that God was working 6 days and rested the seventh day. It's a sign of an everlasting covenant God made with Israel that he's working 6 days and he's going to rest the seventh. That has its fulfillment in the millennial reign of our Lord, which will be the seventh day when there will be rest and peace. But God gave the commandment. God gave the commandment. Now, there are certain things that prevail with God's word as prevail in the home. I know on one occasion I was about 16 or something, and I thought I had attained my majority, and I thought it was time to declare my independence. And so Papa told me to do something. I don't know what it was he told me to do. And I thought that was a good place to declare my independence. And so I stood up as tall as I could and said, "Why?" That's a good thing to say to your father when he tells you to do something. I said, "Why?" Well, the answer came loud and clear. "Because I said so." That's all he told me. And I withdrew my independent declaration and went on and did what he told me to. Now, God tells us to do certain things. God tells us to do certain things. And that's sufficient reason. And God says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." God says, "Children, obey your parents." That's sufficient. God said to. And then the third reason for obeying the parents, number one I gave you, it's natural. It's right. In the establishment of order, the parents discipline the offspring. The parents take care of them, provide for them until they can shift for themselves. Second, it's the law of God. Then the third reason children are to obey their parents is because of the grace of God. A child obeying his parents is worshiping God. Now, some Christian young people have made much of something that isn't true or correct by contending that their parents are not Christians, therefore they don't have to obey them since we became Christian. I'll tell you, beloved, don't try to differentiate between God dealing with one who isn't saved and one who is saved. You don't do that. You don't do that. Look at Matthew 15. I'll show you what some of these Christians were doing. 15th chapter of Matthew, verse 4. You got it? God commanded, saying, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." But you say, "Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, if it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect." Here's what was happening. Here's what was happening. The parents were in need of financial help. The parents were in need of financial help. The children said, "Oh, we have dedicated this to God, and we can't give you any of it." God says, "Not so. You can't rid yourself of responsibility to your father and your mother by saying, 'We've pledged to give this to God.' You've got an obligation to your father and mother. There you have it right there. You say that this is a gift. We're going to give this to God." He says, "By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, then he shall be free." No. "Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." No. No, you've got a responsibility to your father and your mother, and you can't get rid of it by saying that I promised to do this or that with it. And then there are a lot of Christian boys and girls today that disregard their poor unsaved parents, forgetting that the life they're living is a testimony for or testimony against the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgetting that they can win their father and mother to the Lord by living for the Lord himself. Living for the Lord. The Christian home is the greatest testimony to the saving grace and keeping power of our God, the Christian home. The father and the mother and the children. Now, you honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Here's a commandment that has a promise. Of course, this promise was first made to the nation of Israel, that your life may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given you. You see how that applies to Israel and not to the church. But it's carried over into the New Testament, and there is a promise of longevity of life to those who honor their father and their mother. Now, of course, there are unreasonable fathers and there are unreasonable mothers. Else there wouldn't be unreasonable children, you know, to inherit their characteristics. But both there are in existence. Now, comes to discipline. There's got to be discipline, but there's such a thing as balanced discipline. Now, children, obey your parents. But to offset that is the command of God, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, there must needs be discipline. There has to be discipline. Don't confuse discipline with punishment. Discipline, as we have it in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, literally is child training. Child training. The parent gives the child certain things to do, not as a punishment, but to train him for this and that. Every Saturday morning, I either had to haul coal from the fence where they dumped it and put it in the woodshed, or maybe haul wood and put in the woodshed, things like that. Not because I was being punished, but to keep me busy. Papa believed that idle hands were the devil's workshop, and he never gave any room for the devil around that place. There's no room. No room for it. A few times I caught up with that work and would come in house to rest, and my mother would say, "Edwin, get a saucepan." "Where?" "I don't know where they are." She'd say, "You do too. Now get one." I'd get one, fill it with warm water, and get some soap and a rag. Now wash all the woodwork in the kitchen, white woodwork. What a menial task for a man. Kept you busy. That's back in the days, BDW, before dishwashers. I washed and one of my sisters dried dishes. Why? Because of punishment? No. To discipline me, to keep me working. My heart goes out to a boy or girl who doesn't have parents that give them work to do. Now, give them something to do. Keep them busy. There's got to be discipline. When they do wrong, they must be brought to an accounting. Now, we have balanced discipline brought forth here in this passage. Now, you children, you obey your parents. You parents, you see that they obey, but in your punishment, in your discipline, don't overstep certain bounds. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Number one, in the discipline of a child by the father or the mother, there should be self-control on the part of the parent. Self-control. I've seen some parents grab them by the ear and jerk them around and backhand them, and then they... Like the poor old boy I heard about once, his father had given him a royal thrashing, and when he got through with him, he said, "Now what do you think?" He said, "I know what you're thinking." He grabbed him and beat him again. Well, that's the way it is. There should be self-control. Self-control. I've seen some children beaten unmercifully. Self-control. Some have said, never punish a child, never whip a child while you're angry or while you're mad. I've been told that human beings don't get mad, just dogs get mad. But I've seen some human beings that were mad, so that doesn't hold. Frothing at the mouth. I've seen them mad, I tell you. They could kill. Self-control. Self-control. It shouldn't be capricious. I've known parents that beat a child half to death today for doing something. Tomorrow they do the same thing and they say, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? No, that's capriciousness. You don't do that. Have some rules. Stand by them. But at the same time, there can be amendments and flexibility to the rules. Some establish laws and they stand. And there's no giving one way or the other. In third place, in administration of punishment or discipline to children, the parent should be willing to listen to the child. Maybe they're extenuating circumstances. Maybe something brought it about. You don't know. But the parent should be willing to listen to the child. The child is a person. The child's an individual. They should listen. Should weigh the things that the children do. Not only that, some parents manifest the selfishness in their punishment and the exercise of their will, and they'll brook no impediment to their will or violation of their will. This is the law. This is what I've laid down, and you'll do it or else. I've seen where children have been provoked to wrath. I've seen where the parents have been too hard on the children. Pastor of a church in South Texas, we had a family belonged to the church. They had two beautiful daughters. Beautiful young ladies, raven black hair. They had a beautiful complexion. One girl died while she's a senior in high school, the other a junior in high school. I buried both those beautiful girls. Visiting in the home sometime after that, father and mother sitting in front of the fireplace, each in their own rocker, just rocking. They didn't want to talk. They didn't want to say anything. They were heartbroken. They were grieving themselves to death. I'd never been in such a situation before, nor since. After a while, the man talked. He said, "Preacher, no doubt you think these two girls were our only children. He said, we've got a boy somewhere out there in the world. He said, I was mean to him, and I mistreated him. And when he's 14 years old, he left home. We've never heard a word from him since. We don't know where he is. They just sit and rock. Just sit and rock, sit and rock. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. One thing that helped me in the discipline of my girls, whenever they do something I didn't like, I could always think of something I had done which was displeasing to God. And I think about how I wanted the Lord to deal with me. And then try to be as kind to my children as I wanted the Lord to be with me. And that would temper it somewhat. I learned one thing in discipline. It might help, might not. I don't know. But I taught school. I taught in elementary school for a while, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. I was principal of a high school for a while, and I was principal of a consolidated school for a while, and then I taught in college for a while, and I know a little about discipline. I know a little bit about it. But I learned one thing. Don't ever tell the child not to do this or to do that, or you're going to do so and so, unless you're prepared to see it through. Now, you're visiting, like I have been many a time in the home, and a little toddler comes in and comes up to the coffee table, and he sees a pretty piece of china something there, and turns and looks at mother and looks at that, and the mother says, no. Well, that's a challenge to the child. I don't care how young it is. That's a challenge. And don't say no unless you're ready to see it through. The child keeps watching it and then looks at the visitor and then reaches out and touches it. And then looks at the mother. And the mother says, oh, isn't that cute? You see? And then wonders why the child gets away from them. Don't ever say no unless you mean no. Don't ever threaten to whip them unless you're prepared to whip them. I'll wear you out if you do that. They do it. You don't wear them out. You've lost them right there. Main thing, just don't threaten them. Ignore things they do until you're ready to fight it through to the end. One of my sisters had trouble with one of her boys when they were visiting at home once, and she took the boy off into her room along about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and 4 o'clock that evening came, she's still in there with him. She's going to see it through. And she did. She saw it through. It took all day. It took all day. But just ignore things. If you're not ready to see it through, just forget things. Now, you've got to forget your own selfishness. You've got to forget these things. Some punishment is just purely mechanical. Just mechanical. There's no reason to it. There's no rhyme to it. You just up and you just punish them. Just let them have it. And as I said a moment ago, don't be too severe. Don't be too severe. I had an evangelist with me in a meeting on one occasion. He was about 6'8" and weighed about 300 pounds. And he was going along this line somewhere or other, and he took off his spectacles and he laid them down there, and then he got talking about children, and then he said, I tell you what I told my boys. I said, I told them this, as long as you put your feet under my table, you're going to do what I say. And he hit those spectacles and scattered them all over that floor. That's what he did. He did. Now, you can be too hard, you can be too severe. Now listen. Chastisement, punishment, is to be administered in love. You can sit down with the child. You can talk with the child. You can reason. You can go with them. You can do things with them. You can worship the Lord together. You can have prayer together. Now, to balance that, let me show you what the father is supposed to do. Where are the fathers? Are they here this morning? Look. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now here's where many a family relationship has lost and faded out completely. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But how many of you fathers, your children have never heard your voice in prayer? How many of you, your children, have never seen on your knees praying to God at home? I don't think the trouble is with the children so much, or it's with this one or with that one. I just think that the fathers have defaulted, and they haven't assumed the responsibility of being the priest of the home or the family. And I think if the father come in and get the family together, read a passage of Scripture, and then they get down on their knees at home in a family group and pray to the Lord, many, many problems are automatically cared for. Many of the situations are worked out. Fathers, don't provoke them to wrath. You bring them up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. Teach your children to love the Lord. Teach them to love the Bible. Teach your children to pray. Some of the most interesting experiences are what? Teaching the children to pray. I remember our little girls. Oh, Lord, bless Daddy and bless Mommy. Amen. And then one day, bless Mama, bless Daddy, bless the puppy. Amen. And then they take in the cat a little later on. And then they take in a friend. And then they take in somebody else. And they just keep on. Just let them go. Just let them pray. Let them pray. Teach them the Word of God. Get them their own Bible. Read with them. Read with them. Read with them. This is balanced. This is balanced. Our Greek professor was one of the roughest teachers I ever knew. Students got mad at him. One of the great preachers of Florida got mad in his freshman year. Same year I was a freshman. And got mad and bawled the professor out and left school. Went on and made a great preacher. And he's known throughout the country for a while. But one day one boy got mad at him. And he followed him down to his office after. He said, "Now, Doc, take off your glasses. I'm going to give you a beating." He said, "Okay, but let's pray first." He got him on his knees. And when they got through praying, he forgot all about whipping him. You pray with your children? You pray with your children? Your children pray with you? They come to you and say, "Daddy, pray for this." Children, obey your parents. But parents, provoke them not to wrath. On the other hand, bring them up in the fear, the nurture, and admonition of the Lord. And that's the answer to the situation. That's the answer to the problem. And if they could pray these things out in school, they could eliminate a whole lot of them there. If they could read the Word of God something in school, they could eliminate a whole lot of it there. But they cry for separation of church and state. And maintain they have it. But they won't inaugurate a man as president unless he puts his hand on the Bible. That isn't separation of church and state. Make him swear by this book, which says, "Thou shalt not swear." Prayer. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Father, bless so much, our Father, in the family relationship, untouched, unmentioned, so much. Father, maybe there's boy or girl, maybe there are men, women, never trusted.